that's good. Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Fun Show. Oh, we have a nice echo there. So tonight we have, this is the 19th of June already, 2 days away from the equinox of summer. And Steve Barrett, we found him. Yep. We got my daughter here in the background in case we need backup. Water or anything. We got Bella Bird as a sidekick. Steve Barrett is on the phone, and we got Buddy Bird. So, Steve, are you there?
Yes, I am, Fred. How are you doing?
Oh, good. Everybody wondered what happened to you last week.
Well,
last
week was the beginning of the Rochester International Jazz Club here, and unbeknownst to me, I didn't know that I needed to call you, and I called the studio instead, so I greatly apologize for
that. Yeah, anytime you're not going to do a show, call me a week in advance.
Okay.
Because that way I can schedule somebody on here to take your place, like a guest or something.
Great.
Yeah, that was a little scary.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I didn't know that I needed to call you, but I know now.
Yeah, well, it's just common sense. When you're scheduled to go on the air and 1 minute before you go on the air, you're not there, it's kind of an embarrassment.
Okay.
I had a lot of explaining to people, kept calling in and screaming, "Where's Steve? Where's Steve?" One guy wanted to hire the mafia to come and get you.
Uh-oh.
So how was it? Was it a good, did you have a good...
Yeah, it's still going on. It's bigger than the Monterey Jazz Festival. It's it took off about 2 years ago, and now there's, well, we have a lot going on. We have the LPGA going on this coming week.
Yeah.
We have the rest of the Jazz Festival this week. So it's really crowded here in Rochester, but it certainly put Rochester on the map.
Oh, yeah. So, you know. So what kind of big bands do you have there?
Well, we have Taj Mahal playing tonight. A lot of the big bands we have, the Eastman Theater is jammed with people. Actually, what they do at 11 o'clock tonight when they're all done, we have a big hotel right in the center of the city. And they all come, from what my brother told me, lives about a block away from where the jazz is that they jam till around 2 o'clock in the morning.
Really? That's when I used to tour with Moody Blues. Some of them used to go down to nightclubs and stuff if the concert ended early enough.
Cool.
That's pretty good.
Cool. But it's big. It's real big. They're playing in the streets. They're playing at the Eastman Theater. All the nightclubs are filled with people. I mean, it's just really incredible. I think anybody that's everybody, or everybody that's anybody in the jazz field is here this week and next week.
Wow.
So it's really big. It's gigantic.
So are you going back tonight?
Yes.
Oh, are you playing any instruments or anything?
No, I just listen.
I thought maybe you'd get in there and show them how to do a paradigm stomp or something.
Boy, I'll tell you, it'd be nice to do, because there's a lot of really great people down there. But... it's fabulous here. The city is really waking up after all this time, and boy, it's just fabulous.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yep.
So what have you been doing all week?
Well, a lot of energy work, Fred. There's a lot of people that are really interested in advanced work, and I'm doing a lot of advanced work on people. Something happened to me this week, which really opened me up. my heart opened up more, and so I have a balance between my mind and my heart now, and I'm seeing out of both simultaneously.
Oh, good.
So it's really big, and I'm really excited about it. So we're doing some new work.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, so it's a lot of fun.
So now you got your new Portamid, right?
I have a new Portamid. I just gave my other one away. I had a round one that was 8 feet. The new one is 10 feet. And the pyramid seems to be at a point where it's very, very relaxing to sleep in. And so it feels really good. The energy is just, I wake up, I'm refreshed in the morning from it. So there's, I can't wait till this new one, set that up. It's got to be even more powerful than the older one.
Well, that's good. How do you like the construction of the new one?
It's beautiful, Fred. It's just absolutely beautiful.
And kind of makes the old one look like a junker, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I gave the older one to a friend of mine who needs to get some sleep. I said, this will really help you out. It gets rid of all the elf. It gets rid of everything that's not good for you at nighttime, and it certainly gives you a better sleep.
Yeah.
And so that's what I need more than anything. Well, not more than anything, but it seems to really help.
But you don't sleep much anyway, do you?
Pardon?
You don't sleep much, do you?
I sleep maybe about 5 hours a night.
Oh, that's too much. You get old,
I get up usually around 3 o'clock in the morning. I start reading the Torah around from 3 to 5, then I go back to bed and usually get up around 7.
Okay. The time. Did you get a hold of our friend up north there? He needed to get a receptor test. He's been trying to get a hold of you.
I was talking to a gentleman on the phone who's calling me tomorrow at 12:30 Eastern Standard Time.
From people up in Utah?
I believe it is Utah. I'm just not sure.
James Herring, right?
I'm pretty well sure it is. He's going to be calling me tomorrow. I think he also wanted something about a master crystal he was discussing with me.
Yeah.
And I think also a nuclear receptor. I'll have more information for you when I talk to him. I gave him an hour's worth of time tomorrow.
Oh, good.
So I'll help him out a lot.
Sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, he sounds like a nice guy. He needs some help. And
I work with him on some projects.
Right, and that's what we do. You know, we help people, and that's what it's all about.
He gets, everybody in his company is almost practically wearing a receptor up there now.
Really?
So.
That's cool.
And he really, he really got into this stuff.
That's wonderful. I've had a lot of phone calls with people that want to change stones.
Yeah, it's about that time. A lot of people had them in over a year.
Yeah, and I can change the color of the stone and the energy of the stone to what they want.
Yeah.
And sometimes it'll bring down the energy, and sometimes it'll bring up the energy, and then we decide what kind of stone they need. And so I hope that they're calling you for the stones. But that's been going on for the last month. It seems like there's a lot of people that have been calling me. So hopefully they're getting back to you.
Yeah, and Megan's with me, and she's got a nuclear receptor on right now.
Beautiful.
There it is. Megan, tell us, how long you been wearing one?
I've been wearing one for around 10 years now. I have a solid 18-karat gold one with a platinum pavé and diamonds, and I have a carat diamond in the center. And I'm wearing my platinum projector also with the diamonds. And they're both extremely powerful. I wear them both together, so they're really, really powerful. It really takes me off the planet a lot.
Yeah, now, Megan, how long have you been wearing yours, Megan?
On and off for my whole life.
Yeah, she's been wearing one. How old are you now? 22. She's been wearing one probably since she was how old, like 5 or 6?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that?
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and she was born in a Portamid.
That's what you were telling me.
Yeah, she remembers everything, right? Huh?
I don't remember everything.
Most of everything. What do you remember? Do you remember? Can you recite what you remember? Well, did you like the pyramids? You slept in pyramids lots of times, right?
Mm-hmm.
You like them?
Yeah.
Keeps you mellow or does it make you get all energized? Yeah, she calms her down. She's in Aries, so they're pretty high strung.
Well, she's. I'm looking at her chakras. Her chakras are really beautiful.
Yeah. When are you going to get your computer so you can have fun with this here?
Oh, God, Fred. This, I just bought this 6 months ago, and I think I'm going to have to give it to my nephew. I got to pay for my transmission, which is next week.
How much is that costing you?
$1,800.
And what was wrong with it?
Fourth gear.
Brake?
It didn't break. It was the, what do they call the thing that you shift back and forth? The shifter forks. The shifter arms and the fourth that makes it go back and forth, you know, without synchros. The synchros are bad.
Well, that's probably from the guy that had it before. Then,
right. He was jerking around the car. It only had 800 miles when I got it, but, you know, I think he was jerking around the car. That car has so much torque. And you
got to be careful how you shift those.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, this is it's not a toy. It's a very serious car, and you just don't floor a Cobra. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, well, we got this Corvette out here for you to try out if I don't sell it.
Boy, that 1,000 horsepower jobby.
Yeah, you want to try that?
Boy, that's a fantastic car. That's got to be something else.
Yeah, you haven't seen that yet, have you?
No, I haven't seen that yet. I was there. I haven't seen your car. You never showed me that one. I loved it. I've been out there twice.
Yeah, but I think that's when you came to Laguna, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't in Laguna. I had it in a warehouse in Costa Mesa with some others.
Oh, okay. I saw your Testarossa.
Yeah.
That was gorgeous.
Yeah, that's a nice one. That was at the house.
Yeah. And I think since then you've bought another one, haven't you?
Yeah, I got a couple of them now.
Wow. That's the way to go.
Yeah, I haven't driven one car. One of those got driven. We've been out here since November. I think one of them got driven once.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had no time. They're working on a stupid book. I mean, it's killing me.
Yeah.
At least it's pretty much done. We're in the editing now. I'm just touching up chapters.
Yeah. I just, I have a friend of mine. We were having dinner tonight, as a matter of fact. He just bought a 2002 911 Turbo, and it's really souped up.
One turbo or dual turbo?
Whatever it is, it's 600 horsepower, so it must be dual.
Dual turbo. Have you ridden in it?
Pardon?
Did you ride in it?
No, he's getting new wheels for it, and I think he's getting new tires at the same time. And he'll have it out next week, so I'm going to take a ride in it. Now, my car's 610 horsepower at the engine. I think it's 521 at the rear wheel.
Yeah, I don't know what his is.
Oh, his is 600, but I don't know what it is at the rear wheel because he's got four-wheel drive, so I'm not sure exactly what it would be.
Yeah, I think the Porsches are heavier than your car, though.
Yeah, the Porsche's 3,300. I'm 2,350.
Yeah, so you're going to be a little quicker than he is.
Yeah, yeah. But that Corvette of yours must be something else.
Yeah, it's a nine-second machine.
Phew.
Yeah, there's not much around to compare that with.
You know, people don't realize what 9 seconds is in a quarter mile, but that's a bullet.
Yeah, it's pretty quick.
That's a bullet. I've got a friend with a 41 Willys, and he turns 9.5s at 147 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's a good running Willy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's a really good running one.
Yeah, he's got, he's a very interesting guy. Very interesting guy.
Yeah, I'm looking through my manuscript here. I was going to talk about something, but I got to find it first.
Please do.
So anyhow, projector firing system.
The projector's in my room. They're just about the same. Three of them are firing. Three of them are firing pretty good. They're really, really firing. They're lit up in the room now. I'm visually looking at them now. I'll tell you, the stones make a big difference.
Yeah. So now that you've summer's coming here. Does the energy change much?
Yes, I'm waiting for the solstice. I believe that's in 2 days, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, the 21st.
21st, yeah.
Yeah.
And that should really do something.
I described that in my book as a basketball.
Right.
And and you hold it straight out in front of you, that's the solstice, you know, the summer.
Right.
The fall.
Right.
Or the winter, rather.
Yep.
But if you raise it up, that's the winter time, and if you drop it and look down at it, that's summertime.
Right.
And the reason I did that is to explain how these satellites work, that are at great distances spying on people, how they work through the different periods of the year.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of, you know, it's pretty interesting. I'm not going to go into it now, but there's a real big explanation about the relationship between the sun and the moon and consciousness, how it affects it, you know, through the yearly
right.
cycle.
Right, right. The projector that I'm wearing is very interesting, Fred. The diamonds, there's four diamonds in the projector.
Yeah.
And it's firing, I'm looking at it right now, it's firing about 2 inches into my body.
Wow.
And I don't know what's happening with it. I know that it's becoming more powerful. And I'm able to withstand a lot more with it than I was before. So it takes a little while to get you. How long have I had this? About 3-4 months now?
Let me see.
I think it's been 3-4 months.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
And so it takes a little while to get used to it, but I'm seeing a lot more with it now. And there's something about it that's very, very powerful. I don't know how many people are wearing platinum projectors, but they're extremely powerful.
Yeah, we got there's not too many of them out there because I don't think people have really realized, you know, the dollar that you spend on them versus the results that you get.
Right, right,
so
right.
Until that consciousness reaches those levels, it's pretty hard for people to really understand, you know, why somebody were, you know, would spend that kind of money on one. But people that are very successful do, and it seems to increase their success because they recommend it to other successful friends.
Yes.
And I think success is just built on your ability to really believe from your heart that you can do something really well and then set out to accomplish it regardless
yep.
of what the obstacles are.
Yeah. That's very interesting because I've been using an oil called Believe on a lot of my clients as I'm wearing my projector.
Yeah.
And I know that things are coming to me instantaneously with the platinum projector, where I would have to wait an hour or two or the next day or a week when I was wearing the gold one, but the platinum projector is instant.
Yeah, yeah, it really is.
The vibration of it is very powerful. And it's fun, you know. It's fun for me.
Now, I've been getting, I can't find my part that I wrote in here about this, but I've been getting people interested in calling in the Morgellon disease.
Okay.
People are really curious about that. How many have you got? Any clients that have that?
I don't think so, Fred. We're picking up some clients with MS, but not really Morgellon's disease, no.
Yeah, because see, the problem with that one is that the establishment does not want to acknowledge the fact that it exists because of how. Where it came from, you know, as
okay.
an alien technology, and you know, as a result of an alien technology that was picked up, it's you know, and used on people. Its name was given in 2002 by Mary Luteo to propose a proposed condition characterized by cutaneous skin symptoms, including crawling, biting, and stinging sensations. Finding fibers on or under the skin and persistent skin lesions, rashes, or sores.
Right.
Current scientific consensus holds that Morgellons is not a new disorder, instead a new and misleading name for known illnesses.
Okay.
That's what I like about it. Most doctors, including dermatologists and psychiatrists, regard Morgellons disease as a manifest known medical condition, including delusional parasitosis. And the funny thing about delusional parasitosis, it's sort of like when, you know, you're coming off of alcohol, you know, a heavy drinker, they start itching all over the skin.
Okay.
And they think they're, you know, there's things crawling under the skin, but there's nothing there. And it's really sad, the fact that that this goes on, but the American AMA does not want to recognize something that comes from somewhere else.
Okay.
And not too many people, really understand what it really is.
I know that the nuclear receptor has helped a lot of my clients that have MS. I know that the nuclear receptor, the energy, it raises the energy in the body tremendously. And I don't know if it would keep that away or not. I presume it will.
Yeah. What happens is, as I've written about and we've talked about, back in the 70s, people would come to me, the National Health Federation, complaining about people stalking them, in gray trucks with little antennas on top, and then they would go into their apartments, and pretty soon these same stalkers would be living next door, and they'd be feeling kind of strange, different energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I heard that from, at the end of my lectures when I was traveling in the 70s, very first place I ever heard it was in Chicago from an older couple. I always heard it from older people, late 80s, 90s in that area. And actually, I could say middle-aged people today, because if you're in our technology, you'd be middle-aged at that age. But and they would complain about these different energies. So we developed, but soon I heard this from people all over the country that didn't know each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't dismiss it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's when we created the Star Orb and some of the anti-ELF devices, because they were hitting the people with ELF, which people do today.
Right.
So then that moved on. The next thing we knew was that I found out that simultaneously with that, starting back in the 60s, there was a lot of cattle mutilations going on.
Yes, I remember that.
Coring of the sexual organs, no blood ever found on the ground, no
mm-hmm.
tracks, footprints leading to the animal.
Mm-hmm.
But people were seeing disc-shaped objects, often escorted by helicopters, when these animals were at night, and then the animals would be found the next day, obviously not alive anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So this included a few human inductions. The last one was documented with an Army sergeant out near Los Alamos, and that was, he disappeared, was abducted. That was in 1979. After that, there was no more cases of human abductions
mm-hmm.
or mutilation.
Mm-hmm.
So the next thing we heard about was people going to sleep and dreaming that they were beamed up into a spaceship, laying powerless on a table with these strange-looking creatures around them, and then some, needles being stuck in them. And
yes.
And they'd come back from the experience, and they'd have missing time, and then Bud Hopkins was doing a lot of stuff with different universities, was hypnotizing them and taking them through the whole scenario of what they experienced.
Right.
But as we got into research, we found that there was actually two scenarios. One scenario was a very clever form of hypnosis that could be used on people. And they would think they were having a UFO experience,
mm-hmm.
but they weren't. But they were having an experience wherein they went somewhere, somehow they were transported somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and these surgeries were taking place. And then later on, there was a beaming technology that was there.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, the implants were big now in the late 70s, early 80s. And started dying out in the early 90s, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't hear a lot about implant cases. They peaked out probably in the late 80s. They were
mm-hmm.
all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Radiology labs like Scripps and all kinds of different labs were reporting these objects that were being surgically removed from people, not understanding exactly what they were. So, figure by the year 1989... that was probably the last year of serious, sightings of UFOs with helicopters and people being implanted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then what happened was, if these these implants they're installed. They use the minerals of the body, the brain chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
There's an electrical generator to power them, and they find these small wires going down into the brain, into this kind of like protein mass with metallic chips and bits in it,
mm-hmm.
and which would be the main transmitter or receiver into the CNS, central nervous system. So when they started pulling these implants out, obviously a lot of them could not be surgically removed. They were too deep inside the head because they were placed there by a holographic projection system
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that uses a laser, like an infrared laser type source, to go penetrate the bone and the flesh of the brain
mm-hmm.
and leave a what's called mask pattern, M-A-S-K pattern, on the gray matter of the brain, which then dissolve the minerals in that section of the brain and reform them into electronic circuits and various little transmitting devices.
Mm-hmm.
And today, that technology is used widely in what they call supercomputers now. And these are computers that arrange atoms. In other words, instead of having a printed circuit wire with 10 billion atoms,
mm-hmm.
they now have a printed circuit wire with just one string of atoms, one little string
right.
of atoms, and that's it,
right.
which is very small. And so this can be done externally,
mm-hmm.
and it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how the implants were that small, and it's just what's called micro-masking in the semiconductor industry.
Right.
And, you know, Richard Feynman, the physicist I wrote about back in the 60s, was giving lectures on nanotechnology.
Mm.
And when these things are not attended to, or when they're not, you know, reset, they have a tendency to, like a watch, they're not wound up, they eventually are not being used. They go into atrophy because
mm-hmm.
they're somewhat alive. They're relying on the central nervous system for power.
Right.
And eventually the transistors and the different components in them wear out, like any other thing, unless they're rejuvenated. Are repaired,
mm-hmm.
which could be done. They die. They so now it becomes an alien or foreign body component, like a
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean, something that's not good for the body.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So what happens is they start to decompose. Well, when they start to decompose. What happens is that when they start to decompose, they break up and go into the bloodstream, and the immune system starts kicking them out. And so these wires were oftentimes, because they're on an atomic level, color-coded. They were different colors.
Mm-hmm.
So little red fibers start coming out of people's skin. Little green fibers just come right out of their skin, usually with a sore lesion, because the body, it's an antigen to the body that cannot be digested, okay,
because
mm-hmm. it's too dense. It's small enough that the body can move it around, and the body, you know, the skin's the largest organ in the body, so eventually the immune system will transport through the lymphatic system a lot of these things right out to the surface of the skin.
Right.
In the meanwhile, the immune system is going crazy over them, not knowing what they are, and so it's seeing them as an alien substance, and so their energy gets weak, and their brains get, you know, their brains begin to malfunction. You follow
mm-hmm.
me?
Mm-hmm.
Usually, you would get apprehension, paranoia, loss of mental clarity.
Right.
Of course, that causes the person to become very discouraged. Well, then they go to the doctor with it. The doctor tells them it's made up in your head. It's phony. It's nothing. It's just a delusional parasite. So they don't know what to do. And it was interesting, the fact that the class of people that were chosen for this are a class of people that, when it comes to fighting it, give up too easily.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the imagination to really understand and believe in the fact that this is what's really going on.
Right.
They don't want to, they go into some form of plausible denial because orthodox treatment don't work, and they've never been educated into the real world of science where there's not a whole lot of orthodoxy.
Right.
It's not an orthodox place on this level.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. So by the time they get to me, they've exhausted their financial resources, their mental resources, their physical condition is pretty poor. But they, when they finally get here and they listen, the first thing we do, and we had several of these people in the past, and we start them off on the trace minerals because back 10, 11, 15, even up to 15 years ago, I began to see the signs of what was happening. You know, we could see them breaking up, but they weren't breaking up to the point where they're reaching the surface of the skin.
Yes.
So at that point, we were able to dissolve them internally by using the nuclear receptor and the trace minerals.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. So now, and the electrical, the receptor is a device that, in this case, tells the body where to direct the minerals, which will break down and dissolve these things. If they don't have, if the minerals are taken alone, they'll work, but they're not going to work as good as they will when you with a electrical precursing device,
right?
Which reverses the negative energy.
You know, I knew that the nuclear receptor is quite an instrument, and I'm finding out more just listening to you and finding out a lot more information about the nuclear receptor. It's a powerful instrument.
Yeah, the we got into precursing energy a while back. Barry Sears wrote a book about precursing hormones.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the hormone is a protein structure that's gone through the entire chain of command for densification of proteins and combinations of proteins and enzymes.
Mm-hmm.
And the hormone is the first unit of biochemistry that possesses consciousness. All of the seven different sets of hormones located in the seven endocrine glands produce feelings of sexual energy, anger, happiness, well-being, healing. All that is done from hormones.
Mm.
Well, Barry Sears wrote a book called The Zone, describing a balanced protein, carbohydrate, and sugar meal that would keep your body, if eaten in small amounts, in a high-energy metabolizing state called it the zone.
Mm-hmm.
And in it, he called the precursors, which were being put in place by the special diet, eicosanoids. Okay?
Right.
Up until Barry Sears came along, nobody had ever heard the word eicosanoid before.
Mm-hmm.
We had already coined a similar word, electrical precursation, and the electrical precursation was the electrical effect that was produced by the diet that he was putting people in the zone on, and the after effect of the precursing was the production of a eicosanoid, which is a somewhat incomplete hormone that goes into completion when a hormone is secreted.
Mm.
And that's how the hormone in the body, the when we do life extension, we have a thing called the growth hormone. It's 133 amino acids.
Mm.
And the growth hormone, you know, we sell them at Paradigm. When you take that, it will extend the life of the cellular structure, causing you to live longer and the degeneration of the body to slow way down.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Now, the body normally has 20 nanograms of growth hormone in it, and growth hormone is what, of course, makes you grow. But when you're a kid, you have 20 nanograms of growth hormone, and when you're my age or your age, you have the same amount. However, what happens is the amino acid precursors, what's called amino stack, doesn't metabolize anymore because your body is out of the zone. So the body fails to use the growth hormone and not put it in the system anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things we found that the nuclear receptor does is it gets the growth hormone into the bloodstream so that it can do its job and cause the DNA to respiral, because the way the aging process works is that the DNA is despiraling, meaning it has fewer base pairs per turn
of
guanine, cysteine, adenine, and cytosine, the four basic amino acids, two acids and two bases. So those are unwinding, and that's why your skin is like a baby when it was born, when you're 18, and when you're 30, you know, you get wrinkles under your eyes.
Right.
So all this is mechanisms that play, that go to play in the Morgellon disease. And these are mechanisms that we've been working with since Pyridine was founded in 1975. So we know how to deal with this and help people. And everybody, of course, is a different case. But I just wanted to get this clear out there because there's a lot of people that know, either have this or have friends, and there's going to be a lot more people coming down with it because there were several million people implanted back in the days of the implant. It's obsolete technology now. We're using satellite systems. But in those days, satellite systems weren't developed that yet. We didn't have the keyhole satellites until 1990 that can deliver these kinds of ELF energies and spy on people like they can today. So the implants are, once again, a passe science with a lot of side effects, and everybody that's got one. So it's a big, big deal. It's becoming a bigger deal every day because the average medical doctor out there has no interest in treating something that he doesn't even understand. And most of them don't have the time or the wherewithal to try to understand it. You know? You get some psychiatrists like, what's his name, Dr. Cohen, that writes the books with us. Colin Ross, medical doctor, psychiatrist. Okay, he writes about the programs in this book, which I have used for reference. He's been on the show several times. He's an MD. Got his MD in 81. He's been around the block. His book here, the CIA Doctor's Human Rights Violation by American Psychiatrist. His book was a bestseller, and he understands this stuff. But he's one out of 10,000 that does, and he's overwhelmed with dealing with this stuff. So there is a sector of the medical society out there that will recognize this, but they're few and far between.
It's quite interesting that that would form Morgellon's disease, but there's a lot going on. It's just really amazing that I find that the nuclear receptor can actually help get rid of that. That really is very, very interesting.
Well, you know, in an occult way, it's like the fountain of youth to wear one of those things.
Yes. You know, I don't have a wrinkle under my eyes. I don't have... My skin looks like I'm 50, I'm 67. I don't have any wrinkles under my skin, as a matter of fact.
Are you older than me?
Yes, I'm older than you.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yes.
You look like a little punk kid.
No, I'm older. I think I'm a year older.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, and I don't have a wrinkle in my face.
That's good.
So I presume that the nuclear receptor is helping a lot, but my brothers and I, we don't have that. We don't. Our faces are actually rather silky.
Oh yeah. Now Megan, do you have any wrinkles?
At 22?
22, no wrinkles.
No, I hope not.
When she's 42, she won't have any.
No. She's her energy is very high.
Yeah.
Very high.
She's out here in Temecula now. Come over from England.
But what is she doing there, Fred? Can I ask?
What are you doing out here?
I have no idea.
She just came over to hang out and work because she got. Would you like the Isle of Wight? It was getting a little boring for you.
Yeah, I just fancy the change. Try something different for a while.
Yeah, because on the Isle of Wight, it's a very beautiful place to retire. But at 22, a lot of people don't want to retire at that age.
Yeah,
it's like Laguna Beach. But just Laguna Beach. It's all a whole island of Laguna Beach, sort of like, you know. But again, the food in England. What do you think of the food in England, Megan?
It's terrible. It's very meat-based.
Yeah, it's very meat-based, and she's more of a vegetarian.
Right.
So she's not a big meat eater from the Isle of Wight.
Gotcha.
And that may, over there, the pork and beans, you know, that's a big thing. They don't have, you get a, you ask for a salad over there, they look at you like there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
A lot of restaurants. The hamburgers taste like dog food.
Mm.
I don't know how to describe the food in England. It's sad. I mean, the English people are a lot of fun when they get, you know, they most of the time they're pretty loaded. I mean, that was a thing they did on the ship, you know, like Lord Nelson's ship, the HMS Victory, and all those old ships.
Mm-hmm.
They always carried a pint of brandy or a quart of brandy a day for each sailor. So they're on a 200-day mission. They probably had 500 gallons of brandy stored in the build somewhere in the hold. And they had plenty of beer. And, you know, of course, he came along when they used to get scurvy. He was one of the first guys to start handing out lemons and limes, and that's why they call the British people limeys, because it gets rid of scurvy.
Mm.
But anyway,
I can't wait to get out there. Your daughter is very curious. She's got a tremendous mind.
Yeah, she's pretty smart.
Yeah, she's got... there's some things that I'd like to show her in terms of energy that would really help her a lot.
I think she'd be open to that. You want to learn some energy from...
Yeah.
Yeah, she'd like that.
Tell her we can open up all the meridians in 3 minutes.
Yeah, you want to do that now?
No, not really. I need to move her head in a specific way.
Oh, okay, you need to be here.
So, but I'd love to come out there to show her this stuff because she's... she has a tremendous imagination.
Oh, yeah.
Tremendous imagination. And I think I could sit down and we could sit down and meditate and do a lot of good stuff together.
Yes. I haven't had the time to do that stuff with her. I've been working on my book every day. She hasn't hardly seen me at all.
Yeah.
In the evening and in the morning.
Yeah.
But, you ought to come on out pretty soon.
I'd love to do that.
Yeah.
I
car out. It'd be a nice, take Route 66.
I'd love to do that. Man, would that be a nice ride or what?
Yeah, it is. I've done it.
Have you?
I did it on a motorcycle.
Did you?
Yeah, it was fun.
Did you come up north? Did you come all the way out east?
I came up from Mississippi, and then I came back down again.
Oh, cool.
But then I've also rode it on a motorcycle out to Vegas and out the other side of Vegas, starting out here sometimes. I used to go on really long rides when I was younger.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't seem to do that so much anymore, but, you know, going from here to Temecula is 10 miles or something. That's a big ride for me anymore, but... I lived on motorcycles for years, so that would have been no problem to ride 500 miles or 1,000 miles in a day or two.
Ask her a question. I'm sort of curious.
Yes.
In the hands.
Huh?
In the hands. On the hand, in the center of the hand, there's chakras. Has she been able to see those chakras?
Can you see those?
I
don't think so.
Okay. We have some work to do when I come out there. It'll be a lot of fun for her.
Yeah.
Be a lot of fun.
She hasn't developed a second sight yet.
Okay.
She needs to work on that. It takes time. I wasn't too good at it when I was her age either, you know?
Yeah.
I was too busy racing cars.
Me too.
My second sight told me how to get to the quarter-mile goalpost before the guy next to me. That was my whole deal,
That's cool.
And then, of course, work at NASA and build spaceships. But that was boring, actually. It got boring after a while.
Did it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If anybody out there wants to call in, we got a little bit of time. You got the phone numbers handy for those who don't have a computer?
Yeah. Let me turn my light on because I'm in the dark here, and I'm enjoying the darkness. So give me a second. Hold on.
Yeah, go ahead. Now, you're listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show, and we've been discussing Morgellons disease. Other things. We can be reached at 1-800-729-2603 or www.paradigm.com or www.fredbell.net to take you to paradigm.com, or just type my name, Fred Bell, in the search engine, either way.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff out here, Fred. There's so much information you have. I can't wait for that new book to come out. That's going to be so exciting.
Yeah, I got it right here. There it is.
It's 1-888-815-9756. That's worldwide. 1-530-876-3222. and 1-530-876-9916. And that's the three numbers that'll get us right into PBS. So if anybody needs to call, if anybody needs any kind of information, don't hesitate to call us. We're more than happy to help you.
Yeah, I mean, you have a show tomorrow. You still? Did you do your show last Saturday, or were you still at the deal?
Yeah, I did the show. Yeah, I did the show, but you know, I went to go see Smokey Robinson, and he had a little backup, but it wasn't like the Miracles. You know, it was okay. I mean, he's got a beautiful voice.
Oh yeah.
You know, and but. Boy, Fred, I'm telling you, they got groups downtown that are just playing outside. I mean, just you can just pull up a chair and just, I mean, it's free.
Yeah, what do they play in the street?
Yeah, they play in the streets, they play in nightclubs, they play, the only place I think that's charging is like, some of the nightclubs are charging like $10 to get in, or the Eastman Theater that's charging a little bit more, but there's a lot of acts right outside. I mean, just, you know, I mean, famous people. I mean, the city has paid them to come in. And my goodness gracious, I mean, it's just, it's fabulous.
Now, what city do you live in?
Rochester, New York.
Yeah, up there by Kodak. I mean, that's where Kodak is, right?
That's where Kodak is, yes.
Yeah, I used to call on them.
Really?
Yeah, they were one of my clients. What I remember, there's a lot of brick streets there, right?
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of beautiful brick streets and a lot of little hills and trees and stuff.
Yeah. They have... they're changing those over now, as a matter of fact, but there's a lot of beautiful beautiful neighborhoods. We have rose gardens and all kinds of beautiful things that are just absolutely fabulous here, all kinds of gardens. And it's a beautiful city. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can relate to it. I haven't been there in a while.
Well, you were up in Syracuse, weren't you, at one point or other?
Yeah, Syracuse, Schenectady, and Rochester.
Nice.
Yeah, all those areas, there was Polaroid. There was Eastman Kodak.
Mm-hmm.
It was
mm-hmm.
all when I was calling all those thousands of companies. I spent a lot of time up in that area. I used to come up there in the fall.
Right.
All the trees would be, it was good weather, wasn't so hot, the trees would be changing. And I really enjoyed it.
Now, I got some other numbers here if that would help.
Yeah, go ahead.
They're toll free, actually. 1-877-876-5227.
Okay.
1-888-815-9756. And those numbers should help. So anybody needs to call in toll-free, please don't hesitate.
Yeah, we have about 4 or 5 minutes, and then
we're
going to be
out
of here.
That's great.
These shows go really fast.
Yes, they do. How's your book coming, by the way?
Well, we're just in editing now.
It's pretty much written.
Yeah, I'm touching up a few chapters, which you do. I'm putting a few things in here and there, but those long days in and out are over with. There's, you know, a few hours every day is required for the next week or two, and then I got, Mikhail's been editing it in between, you know, calls to clients coming in.
Right.
Then if you can't edit it fast enough, the printer's all ready to go to do the first 500 copies, the unabridged ones.
Right.
And as soon as I get the book assembled, then I'm going to haul it out to the publishers.
Great.
I got to get it done and printed before the publishers get a hold of it, because they'll probably not allow me to do too much printing after that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They always change the books around a little bit.
Right.
It's probably a little bit big for the average publisher. It's about the same size as the other book I wrote.
Really?
Yeah. The one, you know, it's at least as big. It seems like it weighs about 5 pounds.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, where is that book? That book. You can compare the weight on them here.
Are you going to have a hard cover, or are you just going to have the soft cover again?
I don't know what they're going to do. I'm going to do a soft cover.
Okay.
I got a design. They're let's see here. I'd say they're pretty close to the same weight.
Really?
Yeah, that's 5 pounds.
That's a heavy book.
Yeah, we're looking at about 5 pounds here.
Yeah.
And this other book was, I don't know, page 475, 483, right around, let's see here, 485 pages in this one.
Yeah.
Now, what I might do is I want to, if anybody's interested, they want to email me a cover design that I can accept, The book is called The Inside Track. I'll give somebody $500 if I choose their cover. And if I choose part of it, I'll give them $250 if I modify it and use part of their ideas.
Yep.
And you can email me ideas for covers at fredbell@paradigm.com.
Okay.
Because we need to start looking at covers now. The book is called Inside Track. It's all the undercover stuff that's been going on, plus the history of science from 500 B.C. All the cover-ups, all the science, all the current science is there. Cosmology, quantum mechanics is there.
Mm-hmm.
Explanation on the products that we make is in it. It's not just as direct as the other book. It's written in the text.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're making comparisons to what we do versus what the scientific community says we do or accepts of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's written in that way. It's called The Inside Track.
That's beautiful.
I have no idea what the cover is going to look like.
Well, whatever it is, I know it's going to be beautiful because you're going to have a lot of people sending information.
Yeah, and whoever sends me the right thing will either get $500 or $250, depending on how much of their artwork we use.
You know, I'm starting to work on my book.
You're going to do one now.
Yeah, it's going to be called Messages from the Most High. When I was I was touched by heaven, I received about 400 or 500 messages, and I'm putting them down in a book. And so hopefully maybe I can talk to you and we can do something about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a serious book. I mean, I've got people here to just... I've been giving out the messages over the radio, and also, if I'm working... As a matter of fact, I gave some to Carlos Santana. We shared energy for the better part of an hour.
You did?
Yes, I did, sir.
Did you talk to him?
Nope. We just shared energy.
Cool.
He was on stage, and before he came on stage, I told him to please give this to Carlos, and he read them. We shared energy for about an hour.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
I shared some energy with him out here in California.
Did you?
About 3 or 4 years ago, yeah.
He's a fabulous guy, from what I understand.
One of his friends was common to both of us, you know?
Really?
Yeah, we're very close.
He's
got a Rays of Truth book.
Does he?
Yeah.
But I
haven't talked to him in a long time. I mean,
yeah.
I never talked to him. We just had a common friend that we exchanged messages back.
Right. It's almost like I have never talked to him either, other than we've exchanged energy. It's interesting. He's very good with a guitar.
Oh, he's good with anything in music.
Yeah. Yeah. Fabulous guy. But anyhow, that's what I'm doing. I'm putting that together now, so I wanted to talk to you about that eventually when I get everything together. Maybe you can help me with it or something.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
You'll find out.
Yep.
It's a lot of work.
Oh, yeah.
I'm 4 years into this project.
That's incredible.
So I had to do a lot of research, too.
Yeah.
And I had to meet people. I mean, I have a lot of my scientists that I wrote about currently are friends of mine that have been on the show or will be on the show that are world-famous shakers and movers, and some of them are Nobel Prize winners.
Fantastic.
They're in the book, and then I'm going to be interviewing them on the radio here once the book is
wonderful.
Out.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Because they're in the book, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll have a lot of fun with it once it comes out.
That'll be wonderful.
And then we're going to start on music. I need to record the hydrogen sound generator,
mm-hmm.
which is totally a quantum device.
Right.
Well, it's 6:57, so I guess we better wind this down. Put your phone number out real quick.
Yeah, it's area code 585-746-8321. I'll be on the radio tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it'll be all about healing and Dr. Fred stuff.
Very good. Yeah, you've been listening to Dr. Fred Bell, sort of, Healing Hour, the health science energy show. We'll have tomorrow night's show. It'll be a nice show, a canned show that we do. So we're fading out. Our number is 1-800-729-2603. You've been listening to Steve Barish, Bella Bird, Megan Bell, Dr. Fred, and Buddy Boo. Till next week, shake it out. Holly Penfield, Chance to Dance, on the Voyager album, available only through Paradigm. She's over in England singing her heart out now, doing very well.
Hi, this is inspirational speaker